Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8. Now, this is a very interesting verse of Scripture because it's going to tell us about a pattern that is established in the Bible, and that pattern is going to show you several very important things that you need to keep in mind about things that are going on in the world today. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8 says, "The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead." Now, this particular passage may not seem like much on the surface. It may seem rather obvious to you, but as we study, it'll help you tie some things together in the Bible and also give you a prophetic glimpse of the way things are fixing to be. All right, it says, "The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead." Then, the pattern in the Bible regarding government is that in government, leadership degenerates over time. That's the pattern. That is the biblical pattern. That is the prophetic pattern of the world. In government, leadership degenerates. Years ago, there was a young girl who prayed for the ruler of her country. And actually, this was a small country, small like an island. But what happened is this. She and her Christian friends prayed that God would take away their wicked ruler. And eventually he was taken away. And then what happened is that another man came up to rule, and when he did, he was worse than the ruler that they had before. So they prayed that God would remove this ruler. And in time, he was removed, and yet a third and more wicked ruler came up in his stead. And one day, that little girl, young girl, had the opportunity to speak with the ruler. And she said, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you will live." And the man said, "Well, that's remarkable, and I appreciate that, but why would you pray that a man like me would live? Because I'm not favorable toward Christians." And she said, "Well, we had a wicked ruler, and we prayed him away, and we got one that was more wicked, and then he went away, and we got one that was more wicked, and now we're praying that you'll stay because we don't want one that's more wicked than you are." You know what that is? That is, the wicked cometh in his stead. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. There is a pattern that shows wickedness and ineptitude and other problems develop over time and become worse. I'll give you some examples from the Bible. In the Bible, Hezekiah was a good king, and I always love to read about him. Of course, he wasn't a perfect man, but he did some great things for the Lord. Well, you know who followed Hezekiah? Manasseh. And Manasseh ruled for 55 years, and Manasseh was the wickedest king that Judah ever had. Now, in Hezekiah's day, Hezekiah made a crucial decision that was a major mistake. He had recovered from an illness, and when he recovered, the Chaldeans came over to see him and to bring him gifts and to congratulate him on his health. And while they were there, they inquired about, you know, the grandeur of the country. And so he showed them everything. The precious ointment, the spices, the gold, the silver, the house of the armor, everything. They saw it all. And after seeing everything, they left. Well, then Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, "What did these men see while they were here? And where did they come from?" And he said, "Well, they came from Babylon." "What did they see?" He said, "Well, I've shown them everything, all of my treasures." And Isaiah said this in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 17. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. All of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. You know what Hezekiah's response was? It was this: good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? In other words, what Isaiah pronounced was a judgment against Judah. And generally speaking, a king wouldn't say that that's good news, because it foretells the destruction of his country because of a mistake he made. And yet he said it was good. Why? Because I'll have peace and truth in my days. And surely Hezekiah was delivered from the consequences of his bad decision, but his children weren't. Now, if you'll remember, Hezekiah was given 15 more years after he had that illness from the boil. Well, 3 years after he was healed, Manasseh was born, because Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. So Manasseh was born after Hezekiah healed. And then when Manasseh was 3 or 4, he showed off the country. And sure enough, Manasseh did some terrible things. He was the worst king that Judah ever had. You know what you see there? You see this: the righteous is delivered out of trouble, that's Hezekiah, and the wicked cometh in his stead, that's Manasseh. Now later on, there was another king that came up. He was a good king also. His name was Josiah. And what you want to understand is that it's like watching the stock market in a very bearish market. You'll see occasions where things will improve a little while, giving you hope, and then you'll see the thing continuing on down into the tank. And as the kings were degenerating and deteriorating in Israel and in Judah, there was an uptick, if you will, when Josiah came to the throne. He was a good king, very good king. As a matter of fact, the Passover that was held in his day was better than any Passover held by any king and any judge from the day of the judges all the way until the day that he has celebrated this Passover. That would include David and Solomon and Hezekiah. Josiah's Passover was better than theirs. He was a great king. Now, in Josiah's day, they cleaned up the temple, and when they did, they found the book of the Lord, and when they had that book examined by the prophetess, the word came back that everything in the book was true, and that Judah was facing impending danger and damage as a result of the judgments of God. And Josiah rent his clothes, and I mean, he was really upset about this. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said this, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 18 to 20. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 18 to 20. Here is what the Lord said. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardst what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation, and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So the Lord said, you're going to escape. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. It's coming, but you're not going to see it. And you know who came in the place of Josiah when Josiah died? Jehoahaz, and then Jehoiakim, and then a slew of other kings right up to Zedekiah, and they were bad. Look in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 32. Jehoahaz followed Josiah after Josiah was killed by Pharaoh Necho. And what did the Bible say about Jehoahaz? He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Jehoiakim was, I mentioned both of these kings because Jehoahaz was just there for 3 months, and then Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim the king in the stead of Josiah and changed his name to Jehoahaz. And you know what the Bible says about Jehoahaz in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 37? He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. So bad kings followed the good king. What does that say then? That says there's a pattern. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. Hezekiah was. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. Josiah was. But the wicked cometh in his stead. Manasseh followed Hezekiah, and Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim followed Josiah. This is a true pattern. Look at it again, and we won't have to read the scripture on this one. You're very familiar with this particular king about whom I'm going to speak. The Pharaoh that raised up Joseph and took care of Jacob and his family was a good Pharaoh. He's not the one that had Joseph imprisoned. It was Potiphar that had him imprisoned because of the lie that his wife told. But when it came time to get him out of prison, Pharaoh raised him up and then made him governor over the land. He was the second highest ruler in all of Egypt. Joseph was. And when the famine was so bad that Jacob and his family needed to be taken care of, Joseph made requests that they could stay in the land of Goshen, which was under the control of the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh let them do that, and he entreated them well. He gave them all kinds of favor. Well, that Pharaoh died, and many years later, another Pharaoh was up, and this Pharaoh was the one that enslaved the Jews and killed their males, and that was a terrible Pharaoh. You know what happened? The wicked cometh in his stead. The wicked cometh in his stead. You see, when the good ones die, the bad ones come. And what did this Pharaoh do? Well, besides killing their babies and enslaving the Jews, when he was instructed by the Lord to let them go, he refused. And so what happened? Pharaoh was destroyed. And his army was destroyed. And the firstborn males of the country were killed. And you know what happened to the Jews? They were delivered out of the trouble. The righteous is delivered out of the trouble. The Jews were delivered. And the wicked cometh in his stead. Pharaoh was up and was a terrible Pharaoh. But what happened to him is he wasn't delivered out of the trouble that came his way. He was destroyed. And the firstborn males were destroyed. So if you hope, now, based upon what we've seen in this first point, that is that in government leadership degenerates, if you hope to see a long-term improvement in the government of any country, you're hoping for something that doesn't happen. You may have an occasional leader that is better than the general leaders that were before him, like Josiah was following Hezekiah, but in the long run, every government goes into the tank. Leadership in governments deteriorates over time. So you want to keep that in mind. You want to keep that in mind as you consider the direction that the country is going, our country. Don't be surprised when you see that our only hope as Christians is to be delivered out of the trouble because wicked people have come in the stead of those that were better than them before. So our hope eventually is going to be in our deliverance and not necessarily, or not in all, in the improvement of the government. And that's, you say, that's pessimistic. Yes, but it's also very realistic and you don't want to forget that. Okay, here's the next pattern. The first pattern is in government, leadership deteriorates. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out, but you know there are a lot of people that just don't get it. They keep thinking that through the political process they can make the improvements necessary to return this country to some basic route that it had before that they consider to be better than it is than what we have now, and that just doesn't happen. All right, the second thing. When all hell is fixing to break loose, God gets his people out of there. When all hell is fixing to break loose, God gets his people out of there. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. And that's why I said at the conclusion of the first point, our hope is in our deliverance, not in our improvement in the long run. Now, when all hell is fixing to break loose, God gets his people out of there. That is a true statement. And notice that in fact, your deliverance, your getting out of there, may be your death. Not at your own hands. I'm just saying, you know, there are good men that have died young, and sometimes people say, well, why would the Lord take him? Well, look at Isaiah 57, verse 1, and get a slant on this that you might not have considered before. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. The righteous perisheth, you're going to die just like the next guy. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. So sometimes a very good man is cut down in life, you know, before he even reaches half of his normal span of life. You think, why in the world would that happen to him? Well, most people don't consider that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come, according to Isaiah 57, verse 1. All right, now it doesn't always mean that you'll be taken away by death, but take, for instance, Noah and his family. Noah and his family escaped the flood. Why? Because God says, all hell is fixing to break loose, and if you'll build an ark, I'll get you out of there. So Noah wisely complied with the Lord and built an ark, perhaps to the jeering of all the skeptics, gathered the animals that the Lord told him to gather, gathered his children and their wives, as the Lord told him to do, holed up in the ark, and they were in there for 7 days before it began to rain, so don't you know they were the laughing stock of the town. And then all of a sudden it began to rain, which was a real shock because nobody had ever seen it before, though Noah had prophesied that that would happen. And so Noah and his family were delivered from the trouble, and the wicked who had come in his stead were killed. How about Lot? Two angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah to tell Lot to get his family out of there. Abraham had prayed, and though he didn't pray exactly along the lines of what eventually happened, God knew exactly what he meant and sent those two angels down there to get Lot and his family out. Well, Lot and his wife were properly warned and decided to leave, and the two daughters that lived with Lot at home decided to leave. But the other daughters, how many ever there were, that were married to his sons-in-law, they didn't heed when Lot came to them that night and told them to leave town. They said, he is as one that is mocking us. In other words, he's trying to scare us into changing our ways, and we're not going to follow that crazy old man. He's mad. So Lot and his family were carried out by the angels and spared. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. That's what the Bible says. And the wicked cometh in his stead. And the truth of the matter is, all that was left then in Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, were wicked people that God destroyed with fire and brimstone early in the morning. So when the wicked come in the stead of the righteous, what they get eventually is destruction. It's a terrible thing. It's always better to be righteous, to be one of God's people, to have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to escape all of these things, than as a skeptic to mock the preachers like Lot's son-in-laws did. Now, in our case, the righteous is delivered out of trouble. Well, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, that there's a time coming here in the near future. It's a time that we call the tribulation. And it's a time that Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says is a time of Jacob's trouble. And you know what happens before all that happens? The rapture comes. The rapture comes and delivers the righteous out of trouble. And who's here? The wicked that come in his stead, the Antichrist, the beasts. The rapture comes before the great tribulation. We aren't going to be here for all of that wrath. Now, some of us may escape it by dying before the rapture. We'll be delivered out of trouble nonetheless, but it may be by death, like Isaiah 57 verse 1 said. Others of us, I say us, I believe in our lifetimes, I hope in our lifetimes the Lord will come. Others of us will be alive when he comes for us. Now, we'll also escape the trouble because we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll travel up to be with the Lord. Both of us, whether dead or alive, will have escaped the trouble to come. Those that die escape any further trouble that may be upon us before the Lord comes. Those of us that are alive when he comes may experience a little more trouble than those that have gone before us. Times could get very hard before the Lord comes. But be sure of this. Be sure of this. Once the righteous is delivered out of trouble and the wicked cometh in his stead, that times will never have been as bad as they are going to be right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, people can point to it and say, boy, World War One was terrible, or World War Two was terrible, or Vietnam, or whatever you've experienced was terrible. Yes, but he says when it comes to the tribulation, when it comes to the thing that we're going to escape, nothing's ever been like that, and nothing ever will be. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, we read this, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Did you get that? When we're gone, there's going to be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, worse than anything that's ever been, worse than anything that ever will be. So when all hell is fixing to break loose, God gets his people out of here, and our hope is literally in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. There's no greater hope than that. You say, please tell me, I don't have my Bible and I haven't memorized that verse. What are you talking about? Titus chapter 2, verse 13 is our greatest hope. If we have a great hope, I want to know what it is. Well, Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says this very simply. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just know this, that as bad as things may get before he comes, we are going to be delivered out of trouble. And know this, that the wicked will come in his stead. Now you say, why is that important? Well, because, take for instance this nice church building that we just recently built. There's no reason to get too elaborate and too fancy with what we're doing. Well, I mean, we want it to be nice, but it doesn't need to be too nice, because when we're gone, the wicked is going to inhabit whatever we leave here. The church buildings, the houses, your cars, whatever they may be. No reason to get too carried away with having it all very, very nice down here. And I'm not opposed to nice things. Don't get me wrong. I like nice things. But there's no reason to get carried away with it, because the wicked is going to come, and that's going to be their stuff when the righteous are delivered out of trouble. Now, the last thing, and this isn't a pattern, but it's something that we need to recognize. He says here the righteous is delivered out of trouble. That doesn't say that God's people get by without trouble. It just says that when the trouble comes, they will be delivered out of it. And sometimes they're delivered out of it by no other means than by death. Some people sometimes get the idea that the Christian life is a bed of roses. I thank God now that it's not. The hardship in life, the tough times in life, I thank God for now. I wasn't real thankful while I was going through them. I was, because God told me to be thankful, but I mean, it was real hard to work that up in my heart. And you have to understand, now looking back, I'm more thankful about those than perhaps many of the other things that God has done in my life, simply because through those I grew. Paul talks about a ministry of consolation. We have to go through hard times to be able to console others who are going to go through hard times after us. Listen, I would love to think that you could escape trouble, but you're not going to. What Job said in Job chapter 5, verse 7 is absolutely correct. The Bible says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." And if you haven't experienced trouble in your life, if you live a little longer, you will. Paul had trouble, and he was one of the finest Christian men that ever lived. He had a lot of trouble. He was imprisoned. He was stoned. He was whipped. He had illnesses. He had a thorn in the flesh that was a minister of Satan to buffet him. He had imprisonments. He had shipwrecks. Many times he was hungry, not because he was fasting, but because he just did not have anything to eat. And sometimes he was thirsty, not because he was fasting, because he just did not have anything to eat. Paul had trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a very good stand for the Lord God in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And you know what? They had trouble. Daniel took a very strong stand for God with the Chaldeans and with the Babylonians. And he suffered trouble. He got thrown in a lion's den one day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew better than to bow down to an image, because they had been told by their own commandments from the Lord not to do it. And when the king heated up the furnace and said, "I'm going to fry you if you don't bow down," here's what they said. "O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what they said there? They said, our God can deliver us. Why? Because the righteous is delivered out of trouble. But he says, if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. We'll die. But in dying, we'll be delivered out of thine hand. You can't make us bow down to it. Well, they got thrown in the fiery furnace. The Lord Jesus Christ was there to meet them. Even their hair was not singed, neither did they come out with the smell of smoke on their clothes. They were, you know why? Because they were delivered out of trouble. What came in the stead of Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar, and Belshazzar's kingdom was crushed by Darius because he had blasphemed the Lord God. You know, Jeremiah had lots of trouble, but God got him through it all, and we'll have trouble. We do have trouble. You may be having trouble right now. It's rather to be expected since we are misfits in the world. But look, when the wicked come in behind the righteous, they don't get the deliverance that God's people get. So you're still better off to be righteous and know that you can be delivered, if by nothing else, by death. Because when the wicked come, he has no deliverance. You know what he gets in the end of his life? He gets the lake of fire. He gets the lake of fire. Don't listen. Do not get so caught up in trying to improve the world and improve the government and improve the system that you lose sight of the fact and the pattern that in time, over time, leadership in government deteriorates and degenerates. Remember this, that all hell is fixing to break loose, and when it does, God gets his people out of there, so be one of his people. Don't try to stop the hell that's going to break loose. Make sure that you are in a position to be delivered when the hell does come. And then as a Christian, when you go through trouble, recognize that thank God you'll be delivered through it, and whereas the wicked never get that deliverance. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do this. Get on the winning side, because the righteous is delivered out of trouble.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.